Welcome to Color Country Politics, where we discuss all the important political issues facing Iron County, Utah. Our guests include elected officials and community leaders in or representing Iron County.
This is episode 48, 2020 Candidate Forum, Ty Jensen, Congressional District 2.
Hello, and welcome back to Color Country Politics. I'm glad you're here with our alternate way of doing things in the world that we are in right now via Zoom. I hope that you're able to access this and having a good time. I am Jenny Hendricks.
I'm Jesse Harris.
And we are here today. I'm really excited about this. We are here with Ty Jensen, who is running for the congressional second seat. So Ty, welcome.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to come on any type of medium that I get allowed to be on. I'm going to take advantage of it. So thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. This is a very strange and unusual time that we're living in. So we're glad that you're here. So why don't you start out telling us just a little bit about yourself?
Well, I originally am from Sevier County, Utah, which is about 2 hours north of you guys. And so after high school, I moved to Utah Valley University, where I was a basketball assistant with the men's basketball program for 3 years. I never, ever dreamed I would ever be in politics. It was never in the cards. And so when I left UVU, I still haven't graduated with my exercise science degree, even though I still study it. Now, there was no real cause for it, so I had to switch majors and go over to kind of the business route. But as soon as I left, I moved to Salt Lake, and where you get to meet every day with everyday ordinary people, and you get to learn what they want as far as the city life, and you had the college town, which is more of the suburban area, and then me living now back in Sevier County, which is rural. I know all three aspects, and the best part about this is I've been a part of the working and the lower middle class and even the middle class as far as income equality. So I know all three facets of life and different incomes and what everybody wants in their life and what they expect out of congressional congressmen and congresswomen around the United States.
That's great. Sounds like you've really had a lot of experience in, you know, geographically all across the state. That's wonderful.
So
the best
Go ahead. So I always say that you have to be at least a little bit crazy to decide to run for office. And I think you have to be doubly so to decide to go ahead and throw your hat in the ring for a federal office. So why don't you tell us what made you that crazy?
Well, let me take it back to the era of Trump when he first, you know, came down the golden escalator in Trump Tower. I thought, who's this celebrity that's been on TV shows like The Apprentice, where he says you're fired to everybody? Who's this guy that's now going to run for office? And so when I first started to get into politics back then, let me go back a little bit. So when I was at SUU during the Mitt Romney campaign, right, in 2012, that's where I started to interject a little bit. SUU has the Levitt Center, which I would always go on their pizza and politic Wednesday and get in discussions with liberal professors and just other students that disagree with me fundamentally. And so that kind of catapulted me to join the Mitt Romney campaign. We can get into that later with him. But fast forward to 2016, when Trump rolled down and he said he was running, I was never a Trump guy at first. I was also Marco Rubio. I keep wanting to say Ricky Rubio because I'm a jazz fan. But I was a Marco Rubio guy. But when he suspended his campaign, I'm like, okay, Trump is going to be now the nominee. He's going to lead us, and I'm going to hop on. And so going a little bit further, in 2017, when I believe it was at the University of Utah, when now Senator Mitt Romney kind of went in front of the press and threw him under the bus, that's when I decided in 2018, March of 2018, to hop into the United States Senate race. Unfortunately, it was past the filing deadline, and I hopped in as a write-in, but it really helped catapult me to what I'm doing today as far as taking on Chris Stewart and running for the second congressional seat. When you announce you're going to run for federal office, you have to have the biggest guts and the craziest personality, because now you're going to be under some sort of microscope. It doesn't matter if it's your friends, your family, your coworkers, doesn't matter who it is. Now you put everybody's life in a little bit of jeopardy, because now they're wanting to look at you and say, either get out or hop all in, or I don't want to be a part of this. But even if you are in it, people think you're absolutely insane for hopping in, because I'm a guy that's coming from, you know, a normal everyday 9-to-5 job. I shouldn't be in politics because I don't have the money to back it up. But that's the best part, because I feel like with where I'm at in my life, I have a better feel and a representation to help the average American worker. One of my slogans, you know, is I'm the candidate for the American working man, because that's what I am and that's who I care about. And I took that from Tommy Boy and kind of altered it, if you guys remember that movie. But it's very true, because that's where I'm at in my life. I am the American working average person, and that's who I want to represent in Congress.
That's great, Ty. So tell us, why are you running for this office? What do you hope to be able to accomplish?
Well, first of all, there's a little bit of a personal stake right here. So when it comes to Social Security, Chris Stewart has twice now, especially once with Mia Love, voted on the House floor to just never put end of fiscal year funds into any one of the three Social Security accounts, which was going to hurt every American across the board. So the Social Security Administration has very much come out and said, hey, by the time 2037 hits, your Social Security is going to decrease by 25% to 35%. And I'm sitting here, well, if Bush and Obama didn't sit here and drain that out to fund wars and to fund other countries and fund other facets within our own political climate, then we need to put back that money so that we actually have a bridge and then make a new path for the people born in the year 2000 going forward and create a new path for them. But we need to restore what was taken first off and let us drain out of that. And that's one of the reasons. The second reason is term limits. I'm a huge term limits person. I believe in that wholeheartedly. I believe it was either Thomas Jefferson or Benjamin Franklin. Somebody said this was not a lifelong appointment. Now, Orrin Hatch stayed for 30 years, and if we don't remove, you know, like Senator Lee in 2 years, then he'll go on for another, it'll be 18 years if he's reelected. That's too long. So term limits are a must, and I'm a huge term limits person of 8 years total. And so if President Obama, Bush, Trump, Clinton, and you're going back to Reagan, you keep going all the way back, if they only have two term limits, why should any member of the executive or legislative branch have more than that? And I'm also a huge proponent of having maybe a 12-year cap on judicial members as well.
Okay, that's ambitious.
That really is.
Yeah, so I know that Congress is usually having some pretty dismal approval ratings, but obviously there's got to be some silver lining. So what are some things you think Congress is really getting right now?
Right now, they're getting nothing right. I mean, we took a $2 trillion stimulus package in the past couple weeks. Now, a lot of that stimulus is probably good for the average American person, you, me, Jenny. It's going to benefit maybe $1,200. The problem is all the little facets that go into that. Like NPR got, I think, $25 million. Why do they need $25 million or even $25 billion, whatever the final number was? I know it was a $25. And then you got all these other organizations and everything. They don't need money right now. That was a stimulus package to boost the economy. And so now they're looking to do a $6 trillion on top of that. And I'm sitting here like, you've got to be kidding me. This federal spending is way out of control. We've got to put a cap on it somewhere. We can't keep borrowing against future generations. And so you got to have somebody that's going to have the fortitude and the magnitude to go in there and be like, hey, enough is enough. We're done funding the socialism agenda and bailing out other people that don't need to be bailed out right now. This stimulus packages, because I'm pretty sure we're going to get another one here by June at least, are for the American working people. not for the rich CEOs, not for kickbacks from other corporations and private sector entities, not for anybody else. That is for us. So right now they're getting nothing wrong. Right. What they're doing wrong is they're playing politics. Why can't they just come together and cut the BS out? Just play absolutely fair game and just be upfront with everybody and have bipartisan legislation. Right now, it's all about Democrats and Republicans. And if you're not one of those two, you're kind of screwed. Instead, why don't we have somebody like me that will say, let's bring it together, let's make sure it happens in a bipartisan manner and help our own people first.
That really is ambitious.
It really is.
So just a follow-up question on that, because, you know, that's something that I think a lot of politicians genuinely go to Washington to try and fix. I think that, that everybody, well, at least most people who say that, really have the intention of doing that. And then, you know, a few years down the road, we see that it just doesn't happen. So I'm interested just in a little bit more about what's your vision of making that happen?
Well, the greatest part is that I'm not a politician. That's the best part. Most people, you know, they want county commissioners and mayors and former, you know, house staffers or somebody to go to DC and represent them. Well, it's about time we start kicking these pro-career politicians out, putting somebody that's the actual working man that will actually go in and actually set things right. And by the way, I'm going to tell you this, speaking of term limits, and I'm going to make this very clear, that I only want to spend a total of 8 years in Congress, and then I'm out. That's it, because, you know, you can't have somebody push towards term limits and be pro-term limits and then want to stay past the 8 years. And so if I go there, I'm going for 8 years, and I'm going to be loud and proud like AOC, but in the right conservative direction, that's for sure.
That's great. Well, what else should voters know about you? We're not having debates, you know, like we traditionally do in a congressional race like you're in. So what else do you want voters to understand about where Ty Jensen is from and what you want to accomplish?
See, the hardest thing out is getting all the information out to the delegates right now, because even though I did intend to gather the signatures, that was kind of suspended. Now, I had 4,000 verified signatures going into this, and that was not from the lieutenant governor's office. That was just from me staying up till 2, 3, 4 in the morning and getting on Vote Utah, you know, make sure the IDs checked out and they were part of the Republican process. And that was going door to door. But as soon as the stay home, stay safe orders went out from Governor Herbert, it kind of made every candidate kind of switch over. Now, when I started this whole process in March, I officially signed to go through the caucus convention route instead, because a couple weeks prior to that, the Utah Republican Party come out and flat out said that if you do the route of the signature gathering, you will have no access to not only the delegate list, to the convention booths, to all this other stuff that was included in that, because they kind of view it as, if you're out there gathering signatures, you have the money to do this. Well, I wanted to, you know, prove them wrong and say, hey, look, but when they made that rule, I'm just like, hey, let's just do the caucus convention route. The problem is getting the information to the voters, and I've had a lot of a drawback because of it, because a lot of the phone numbers and the emails that these delegates are submitting are not going through. They're actually pinging back. So that makes it a little difficult. The other problem is we're still using delegates from the 2018 cycle. And so about 30-40% of those should have been recycled and brand new ones. But unfortunately, with the virus, we're still using the older delegates, which is, you know, that's fine. We're just going to have to prove a way to make sure that we get on the ballot. That's the biggest thing. I just want to be able to have you, the constituents, have the fair and honest decision-making process, as well as the delegates, to be on the primary stage. Now, you just mentioned a debate in which we've invited Chris Stewart to join Mary Burkett and I for tonight's debate. that will be on Zoom like this, and then we're going to again broadcast it out everywhere. But we have invited, and he declined Mary. He absolutely will not respond to me at all. And then Carson also dropped out of the whole debate thing. So it's going to be between Mary and I, with, I think, a Washington County delegate doing the moderating.
Well, that should be very interesting. That's great. Well, Jesse, do you have anything else? That's all the questions I have on my list.
No, I think we just about covered it. Ty, I really appreciate that you made the time to come on and talk to us, and I'm sure that delegates and voters really appreciate it too.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, it's not just that. I want to be not just a man going in with a plan. And if you go to the website, JensenForUtah.com, you're going to see literally everything top to bottom that I would love to do, like a new Kate's Law that, Senator Lee and then Ted Cruz has tried to put forth. And so there's a lot of things in there, restoring Social Security, from finishing the wall, but finishing it through a bipartisan manner, and just everything that we can do to help push everybody forward. Now, I'm just trying to give Utahns another chance with a fresh face, new voice, and better choice, because right now, Congressman Chris Stewart is not doing his job. He talks a lot, but he doesn't walk a lot. And I can't stand by as a citizen and let our representative just talk. Now, he wanted the job with President Trump being part of the National Intelligence Chairman, I believe. Am I right? Mm-hmm. And so when he was nixed from that, I haven't heard hardly a peep from him. And so just because you get nixed, are you still going to support the president even though he doesn't want you in that position? So now where are you going to go with this? So, but you know what? He's had his 8 years. It's time for somebody else, somebody younger. And that's the thing is the Republican Party is kind of losing ground with the younger generations, Generation X, Y, and Z. And so if we're going to keep the Republican Party intact as a whole and not have them just be independents or swift over to the Democratic Party, then we need to have somebody that's a younger representative of 37, 38 go in there and try to help build the party, because a lot of our Utah delegation is a lot of the older generation. And what happens when they, get sick, they die off, they don't vote no more, they're not participating in Republican debates or anything that has to do with a delegation, what happens? The party will wind up dying if we don't reach out to them. So I think that in my stage of my life right now, I'm in a better facet to help the younger generations come to the party and help the party out.
That's great. No, I think that is something that the Republican Party needs to pay attention to, is attracting those younger voters. So, but listen, Ty, we're sure glad that you had time to come and join us today. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you for having me, Jess and Jenny. I appreciate everything. And Color Country, the one thing I will say when I was in SCU is I loved your mountains. I love them. You go up the canyon, you got beautiful scenery, and not just that, we got Garfield and Kane County and Washington County, even somewhere up in Beaver. Beautiful, beautiful area. I appreciate you guys doing this, because for some reason, nobody cares outside Salt Lake, really, about politics in southern Utah, unless you live in St. George. So what you guys are doing is fantastic, and I appreciate this opportunity.
Well, thanks again. We appreciate you being here. All right, everybody. This has been Color Country Politics. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Color Country Politics, a production in cooperation with Utah Politico Hub and graciously sponsored by Century 21 Prestige Realty at 121 North Main Street, Cedar City. Special thanks to Amoeba Crew for use of their song Background Indie Rock, licensed under Creative Commons. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Also, check out our YouTube channel where we post video of our interviews. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and our website at www.colorcountrypolitics.com.